We began a new series last week called Messages from the Mount. We're going to continue in this series. We're going to be taking a close look at Matthew chapter 6 today. You may want to open your Bibles there, verse 1 through 21. I've entitled this lesson, A Secret Society of Saints. Now that may seem like, what in the world are you talking about? But I think you'll get the idea as we go through this text. I'll be looking at one section of it at a time, and we'll be focusing on some specific verses within those sections. And we're starting right off in verse 1, Jesus has this to say. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men, to be seen by them. He says, if you do, you'll have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by men. I tell you the truth. They have received their reward in full. He says in verse 3, but when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in what? Secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Now, verse 3 has been given a bad rap. It really has. Every time I hear it quoted, it's not only taken out of context, but it's given a negative spin. Jesus presents the idea in a positive light, not as a failure to communicate within an organization or a company. And that's how we hear it all the time, isn't it? Well, their right hand doesn't know what their left's doing. My goodness. We're always seeing it as a negative thing, a lack of communication, right? But hear me. It's not about random dysfunction, but purposeful discretion. That's what that's talking about, being purposeful in your discretion. That's what they're not letting the right hand know what the left is doing. It's about being purposeful in your discretion, in your giving. Matter of fact, at face value, it may seem like we're in violation of that, even with our giveaway. Because, you know, some of you have noted, I made an appearance on TV. You know, I'm a celebrity. Some guy asked me for my autograph the other day on a napkin, and he said he'd blow his nose on a later. Thanks a lot. Thankful for the opportunity, though, to promote the giveaway. What about when we, in our giving here at the church, when we write personal checks, or use offering envelopes, or use Givelify? Doesn't that identify our giving as who's doing it? Doesn't it do that? Isn't Jesus seeming to be instructing us to give anonymously? He uses the word secret here, and it's the Greek word for which we get cryptic. And that implies, doesn't it, some covert benevolence, not being on display. Now, we'll talk more about that in a moment, okay? But just things to think about. Then he applies the same theme, see, to our prayer life. He says, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they've received their reward in full. But when you pray, what do you do? Go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what? What is done in secret will reward you. Will reward you. He goes on to say, and when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Verse 14 says, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Now, maybe you were tempted, as I read through what we call the Lord's Prayer, to recite it with me, to say it with me, maybe even be saying, whoa, slow down so we can say it with you. Now, just last week, we said the Lord's Prayer together in assembly. We did. And a few weeks before that, we do that periodically. Sometimes it's very appropriate to do that. But context is pretty clear that if Jesus ever meant for us to repeat that prayer word for word, it would be better prayed in closets than in churches. Now, that's what the King James Version says. Instead of going to your room, it says go into your closet. And do it in secret. Not about praying publicly, is it? And once again, I'm not knocking that we do that. I think it's good for us to do that periodically. But the context says, wait a minute, we're talking about what? Not praying publicly, but praying privately. Right? That is the context. What about saying grace in restaurants? How many of you do that? How many of you do that? Okay. You know, and you ever feel awkward about it? Ever feel like, okay, because of commotion going around or different things, well, you know, what's the best way for me to do this? Because you don't want to create, you know, a chaos, or you don't want to draw attention to yourself, but you want to pray. So, you know, doing it discreetly, you know, how do you do that? How do you do that? Some people would say, well, we don't do that for this very reason, because it's not about doing it publicly. Maybe they just bow their heads and, you know, say it to themselves, or they may give a nod. I've done that some occasions when the commotion is so much, you know, wherever we're at, where, you know, you can't really, unless I were to stand up, call everybody to attention, you know, and there have been times I have done that, you know, if it's a church gathering, but most of the time I'm not going to do that. You know, so if it's just family or a few people, then we might just say, okay, well, let's just be thankful. And we all bow our heads and quietly pray. But see, there's an issue here, isn't there? What about having the pastoral prayer? Ted, thank you for the pastoral prayer. That was a public prayer, right? It wasn't private. It was public. Not much secrecy there. When I've prayed over people in hospitals or prayed at weddings and at funerals, I've prayed publicly. Was that wrong? Is Jesus saying that was wrong to do? And what are the times when I have, and perhaps you have too, gathered with others to lead a prayer on the National Day of Prayer? Have you ever attended one of those? And different people are assigned different things to pray for, and they'll get up and pray. I've been involved in those many times. I'm honored when I'm asked. But it's public, isn't it? It's public. Have we crossed the line when we do those things? I mean, I confess, not only did people see me pray on those occasions, there were often times when I made sure that they did, and I made sure they heard every word I prayed. Because I wanted them to be able to amen it. I wanted them to be able to be in agreement with it. And sometimes Jesus himself prayed publicly, and when he did, he would say, I pray this, Father, not for you to hear, but for them to hear. Sometimes there's teaching opportunities in our prayer life too. Sometimes there are. So I didn't try to hide it. I was very open about it. And very open. Finally, Jesus makes the application to my favorite topic, fasting. I do say that in jest. It is not my favorite topic. You can look at me and you probably say, yeah, I can tell. That's not your favorite topic. I prefer to talk about feasting. And most of us would. Most of us would. But Jesus addresses fasting. He says in verse 16, when you fast, not if. When? What's his expectation? That they will. That they will. It says, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they've received their reward in full. Verse 17, But when you fast, there again, the expectation, right? When you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face. So it won't be obvious to men that you're fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done, how? In secret, will reward you. So if people know I'm fasting, there may be an issue. There may be a problem as far as this kind of fasting is concerned, if they know it. But what about those times, and you can read about them in the Bible, when the whole nation of Israel was called by the king to enter into fasting as a sign of repentance when they had really gone astray? Sometimes the whole nation, that must have been public, must have been a public announcement about that, a public call, a public declaration of the fast. And in the New Testament, you can see when the church sometimes collectively again fasted and prayed before installing elders or commissioning missionaries, that they did that. You can read about that in the book of Acts, that they fasted and prayed as a body. So once again, there must have been some kind of a public, again, call to do that. That the fasting would have been, at least people would have been aware, right? That I'm fasting, assuming you're fasting. See, but you'd have to assume it. Because not everyone would be going around saying, well, I'm fasting. And now I've been fasting for like 12 hours now, and I'm so close to God. How long have you been doing it? You know, there wouldn't be that kind of thing, right? It would be your fasting is very personal and private. But that's kind of hard. I mean, these days particularly, what about if you're fasting just long enough when your stomach starts growling? And for some of you, that would be to skip lunch today. Right? Well, you know, your stomach growls. Well, okay, there's an indication that maybe you haven't eaten for a little while. What about you if you fast long enough that you actually shed a couple of pounds? And somebody notices that and calls that to your attention. What about those times? It's in our society, it's pretty hard to even skip a meal without somebody asking you what's going on. Isn't it? You know, if you're not eating, I'll just have water, you know, or you just say no thank you. Well, what's the matter? Are you dieting? What's the matter? You know, and people, they ask, right? And do we not do the same thing to other people? Because, you know, we're concerned. You don't like what I'm serving? Or is there, you know, the health issue here? Or can I get you something else? Have you ever done that? They're not eating, so what, can I get you something else? And it kind of puts you on the spot if you're fasting and you might feel like you have to acknowledge it. You might not have to go into any details about it. But it's hard to keep our fasting a secret. It can be. It can be difficult to do that. What are we supposed to say when somebody says, well, what's wrong? Worry not eating. Now, it's important, see, with all of these things. We've already talked about the fact that Jesus is saying something here about what? Being secret, being private, being discreet, right? About these things, about our acts of righteousness. He's saying this, very clear about it. But we have acknowledged, have we not, that there are times, many times, when we don't do that, and there might be legitimate reasons why we don't do that, and we're following other biblical principles. What's going on? It's important to note that in this instance of fasting and every other instance mentioned here, that Jesus is exposing the hypocrisy of the scribes and the Pharisees. Those ones, he said earlier in chapter 5, we looked at last week, whose righteousness we must surpass if we're going to enter into the kingdom. So he's highlighting, see, their hypocrisy is what he's doing. He's saying, don't be like them. Don't be like them. Their religion was for show. It was to receive praise from men, recognition for self. And he says, don't be like them. And in the previous chapter, again, he had said, in the end of chapter 5, a passage I think many of us here are familiar with, at least in some level. He says to believers, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill can't be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, he says, let your light shine before men so they will see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. So, which is it? Are my acts of righteousness to be in secret or to be on display? Are they to be in secret? How can people, you do it not to be seen, but he says, do it so people will see it. Well, wait a minute, Jesus. I know you don't contradict yourself and the scripture doesn't contradict itself. We've got to understand the whole context of all of this. And really, one of the things is that personal sacrifices, see, and devotions are to be kept private. When you think about fasting, see, personal sacrifice. When you think about anything that we give up, you know, for God, for a season of prayer, or that we're doing this because we believe it will honor God, it's to be kept private. Be kept private. And again, that passage in Matthew, let your light shine so they may see your good deeds. The message from the Mount, see, about this is this. It's not so much about method as motive. And more to do with intent than content. When it comes to our acts of righteousness. And also, we may be seen. And again, if we are doing good deeds, then we will be seen. But we're not to make a scene. Now, in your bulletin, there's a handout, actually, of some notes that I should have told you about. I've been doing that through this series, that you could follow around and fill in some blank. Well, that's actually there. I think it's a phrase I think would be good for us to get. When we're doing good words, we may be seen, and we will be seen if we're doing them consistently, but we're not to make a scene. We're not to be trying to draw attention to self. We're not to be doing it for our interests. We're not to be doing that. See, because that's what the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were doing. They were doing it to be seen, and they were making a scene to be seen. They were doing it for their own glory. That's what they did. And Jesus said again, don't be like them. Three times, don't be like them. But he also said something else, not just once, but three times. Since they were seeking the praise of men, that was all they were going to get. He used the expression, their reward has been received in full. Did they receive praise from men for what they did? Yes. That's all they were going to get. What's the implication? No reward from the Father. No reward from the Father. Reward from men, that's what they were looking for. He says they get it. And they're receiving it in full, paid in full. Don't expect, they shouldn't expect, should they, any reward from the Father for what they've done. And if we're like them, neither should we. Neither should we. Yet Jesus assures the secret society of saints, I'm calling them, that their Heavenly Father sees what's done in secret. And He will reward them. Right? He will reward them. In fact, the next couple of verses, he has something to say that's pretty important. In verse 19, he says, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Verse 20, store up yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust don't destroy and where thieves don't break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart's going to be also. Now, this passage also has often been taken totally out of its context and applied exclusively to money. And it's applicable, okay? It's applicable. Matter of fact, in verse 24 of this same chapter, Jesus will talk about you can't serve both God and money. He will say that. But in its context, see, it's broader than money, isn't it? It's much broader than money. It's got to do with our deeds of righteousness. It's got to do with the things we do for God, hopefully for Him, and not for ourselves. But it's got to do with that. Where do we want the reward to come from? From the Father? Or from people? Where's it to come from? I wonder how many rewards I might personally miss out on in heaven because I insisted on chasing after rewards on earth. Because he's pretty clear, right? If that's what I was chasing after and I got rewards, my reward was in full. Right? He's pretty clear. And what rewards might they have been that the Father would have for me? I'm pretty much convinced of this. No, I'm sold on it. That they would have been far greater than any rewards that man's given. Far greater. I can't say with certainty, but there are more than just hints throughout the scripture that not only is God faithful and that he will reward his children, but there are also degrees of reward. See, the rewards according to what you do. That's what he's saying. According to what you do. He takes note of it. In the book of Matthew alone, Jesus differentiates between the rewards of a prophet and for those who give a cup of cold water in his name. That's in chapter 10, verse 6. There's a different reward. He also talks about the fact in verse 17, verse chapter 16, about God being able to give recompense for all, for everything you do, for every recompense. That's an interesting word. And that's a proportional idea for what you do, that God will reward. And in chapter 19, verse 29, he makes it clear to disciples that whatever they sacrifice for the kingdom, he will reward them 100-fold. So he makes it very clear. And we, I promise, we'll talk more about this in the future. This is a difficult thing for a lot of people to grasp and understand. But I'm convinced that, it's true because the scripture not only implies it, not only hints it, to me it shouts it. But for now, I ask you, with me, to accept by faith that God is faithful and he does not miss a trick. That we don't have to make a scene for God to see it. We don't have to do something by the world standards like blowing our trumpets, he calls it. You know, drawing attention, letting everybody look at me. God sees what we do, what? In secret. And he will reward, right? He will reward those acts of righteousness. So again, it's about motive. It's about motive for what we do. He will reward us providing we keep our pride in check and make sure that whatever we do, it's for his glory, not ours. His glory, not ours. I confess to you, sometimes that's hard to keep that in check. I was talking with our worship ministry yesterday morning, and I told them, I said, I know that you do not do what you do for accolades. I know you don't do what you do for praise. I know you don't do what you do for someone to feed your ego. But I confessed to them as well. I said, but you know what? All of us sometimes need our ego soothed a bit. All of us do need that sometimes. Telling somebody that they did a good job, you appreciate what they do, there's nothing wrong with you receiving that as long as that's not what you're looking for. Keeping that in check. Keeping that in check. It's for God's glory. I will do it whether man likes it or not. Whether man or woman ever amends what I do or says good job for what you do or wow, you're really a good person, if that's what I'm doing it for, wrong reasons. Understood? Wrong reasons. The message from the mount again is it's not for our reputation, it's for his renown. It's for his renown, for his glory, for his praise. Ephesians, letter, chapter 2, verse 8 through 10. Many folks really love verse 8 and 9, which I do too. It says it's by grace through faith that we're saved, not by works, not by ourselves, it's a gift of God. But then it says we're God's workmanship. Verse 10, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. So God is calling us to do these things for Him. And in one sense, not even to do them to be rewarded, do them again for His glory, for His renown. But He will reward you. He will reward you. He will bless you. We've been really emphasizing the theme throughout our giveaway, but it's a repeated theme here at Calvary Christian, is that Abrahamic promise idea that He was blessed to be a blessing to all nations, and that we see that when God blesses us, we're to be a blessing. We're to bless people. But let us never miss out that when we do that, when God blesses us and we bless others, even with the rewards He gives us, that we bless Him most of all. We bless Him. May that be our focus, and may we never lose it. That's Jesus' point, isn't it? Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank You. I want to thank You for what You have done for us in Your love and grace and mercy extended to us. I want to thank You for the sacrifice of Jesus, because there's no sacrifices we could ever make that even could come close to what He's done for us. There's nothing we could ever do. If we gave our whole life, and we should, it would never recompense for what You've done for us. But thank You, God, not only for giving us what we could never possibly earn a reward for, but Father, for being willing to reward us for what we do in Your kingdom. May we keep that perspective. Father, I pray that You just help us to guard our hearts, that we wouldn't be like those people Jesus talked about, but we would be people who are willing to do what we do for the kingdom in secret, just between us and You, and know the joy and the privilege and the pleasure of what that means. Thank You. In Jesus' blessed name. And those who agree say, amen.